Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we're ready. Amen. Amen. Okay, you guys come out on a rainy day, on a Memorial Day weekend. That's how I commend you for that. All right, so we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And if you go to sleep, I'll stop the message, okay? So just wanted to let you know that ahead of time. This is called Hearken to His Voice, and I think you're going to get something out of it. So we're in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, and it says this. We've read this scripture right many times. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, or encounter them, or attain to them, and health to all their flesh. Now, we've talked about this before. Some translations for that word health to all their flesh means a medicine. That's what some of the translations say. And we could say from that the Word of God is medicine to all our flesh. I just want to emphasize that, because sometimes we say it so much we don't hear it. The Word of God is medicine to our flesh, all of our flesh. Praise God. And so I'm going to talk today about the effect of the Word of God upon the human spirit, the soul, and even the physical body. So I'm going to say that several times so you know that's what I'm talking about. The effect of the Word of God, if the Word of God is medicine to all our flesh, then the Word of God has an effect upon our spirit, our soul, and our body. And so you'll see what I mean in a minute as we get into this. Now, I've heard these things many years, the things I'm sharing about today. I've heard about this over the years. I've heard people preach about being healed by the Word of God. I know a number of people who have preached that over the years. I think, well, that's great. I believe that, sure. But I've never really experienced it myself until it didn't become a revelation to me until Jenny and I went through COVID-19 back in February. And, you know, we put up with that devilish thing for 8 or 10 days. And I mean, it is a devilish thing. There's nothing ever came straight out of hell any more than COVID-19. I can tell you that right now from firsthand experience. And a lot of people know that because they lost their life to it. But anyway, so it became a revelation to me until, you know, about 10 days and then almost as a last resort, it came to me, go listen to some healing scriptures. Go find some scriptures. I've heard people got healed by hearing the Word of God on healing. I think I may try that. And when I did that, it was gone in 2 days. And I felt better continuously as the 2 days went by. And then suddenly, boom, that thing was gone. And I knew it. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she knew immediately in her body that she was healed of that plague, and I knew it. And so it became a revelation to me that we can be healed by listening to the Word of God. Now, some of you may not buy into that yet, but I believe you will at some point. I mean, it sounds a little far-fetched, right? I mean, come on, brother, come on. Really, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. See, I learned something about the Word of God that I didn't know, even though I've been studying it for 40 years. I found out if I merely listen to it, it will speak to me. If I just simply listen to it, put my concordance up, put all that stuff away, all the commentaries, and just listen to what it says. And I'm not going to go off into another message, but there's a scripture that says, you know, the wayfaring men, there's a highway in the wilderness, and wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. In other words, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to get this. You don't have to be a theologian. The Bible was not written for theologians. It was written for everyday people like you and me and us. Praise God. So I'm still listening to those healing scriptures every single day since February. And the more I listen, the more the Lord tells me about it. And so I'm just sharing some of the things with you. I've shared 3 or 4 or 5 messages on this already, and it's been different every time because the Lord showed me something different. And He keeps on showing me stuff. And I've actually found verses in the Bible that say that the word will not only heal us, but it will prevent us from getting sick. Really, brother? Where's that at? Well, let's take a look at it. Hallelujah. It's in Exodus chapter 15. You remember the children of Israel were in the wilderness. They came to a place called Marah, where there was water, but it was bitter. It was poisonous. And they couldn't drink it, and so they murmured against Moses. That's the general reaction. Moses, your fault, Moses. But in Exodus 15:25, it says, "And he," that is Moses, "cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree." Think of the cross. "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree." "He showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters," the troubled waters, the evil waters, "the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." And verse 26 says, "And the Lord said," after healing the bitter waters, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought or permitted upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the God who heals." Praise God. Hallelujah. "I will permit none of these diseases upon you that I have permitted upon the Egyptians. I'm the healer." Okay, let's see here now. Yeah. Okay, I get it. I almost skipped a major part there. If we study that word "put" just a little bit in the phrase "put none of these diseases upon thee," we will find references all over the internet to Dr. Robert Young, who wrote the Young's Analytical Concordance of the Bible back in 1879. That's just a few weeks ago, right? He was himself a Hebrew scholar, and he stated that the Hebrew word for "put" was in the permissive tense, a tense that is not available in the English language. And so it was translated in the causative tense as "put" instead of the correct translation "permit." And you can find this on the internet. Just do a Google search, Dr. Robert Young, permissive tense, and it'll bring you to a whole writing on that. In other words, "I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I'm the healer. "I will not allow these diseases to come upon you if" what? "If you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And that's really what got my attention in that voice, in that verse, was "diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God." Oh, there is a diligent hearkening involved in that. What does "diligently hearken" mean? It means to listen to attentively, very closely, give your full attention to it. Listen to what? "To the voice of the Lord thy God," is what it says. "Thou would hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And here's another verse just on the side that has that same language in it. It's in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt do" what? "Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Praise God. Then he listed the blessings. You'll be blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of your body, blessed in your ground, your cattle, your sheep, your basket and your store, blessed in all the works of your hands, and so on and so forth. Now, how would these blessings come upon them? By hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord their God and obeying it. And here's another side thought right here. Hearkening is vitally important in the kingdom of God. Did you know we get saved by hearing the gospel? We'd never get saved if we didn't hear it. We speak in tongues by hearing the utterances of the Spirit. We get healed by hearing the word on healing. Paul said this to the Galatian church. And let's see, I think that was Galatians 3:5. I don't see it on my thing here, but I believe that's it. Yeah. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, miracles, even miracles are worked among us by the hearing of faith. We connect with God by hearing. Hearing is vitally important in the kingdom. And there's no extra charge for that. I just threw that in there, praise God. But see, what I'm talking about is the effect of the Word of God upon the human spirit. And the Word is received how? All right, praise God. Somebody's hearing what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the question arises, did Israel hear the voice of the Lord? He said, if you'll hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, then this will happen. Well, did they hear the voice of the Lord? Yes, they did, at least once at Mount Sinai, we know of. And it scared them so badly, they said to Moses, hey, look, you just go talk with God. Let him tell you what to do. We will do. We will hearken and we will do all he says. And we'll just worship him from afar off if it's okay. We're going over here. Praise God. And it scared them really bad. And well, we just look at the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 5 where this happened. It said, now, therefore, why should we die? This is the multitude, Israel. Speaking to Moses, Deuteronomy 5:25. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire on Mount Sinai will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Well, they had already heard his voice and they weren't dead. I don't know why they thought that. If we hear it once more, we're going to die. Verse 26, and for who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Well, Moses heard the voice of the Lord coming out of a burning bush and he was still alive. Verse 27, go thou near, Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Notice they said, we will hear it. We will hearken unto it. How did Israel hear the voice of the Lord? Through the word that God spoke to Moses. Israel did not hear the voice of the Lord directly. They chose not to. They heard his voice through his word, through the writings of Moses. And that's exactly how we hear the voice of the Lord our God, through his word. You see, now get ready, brace yourself. Here it comes. Brother Ronnie may have just gone off the deep end here. Hang on. You can pray for him if he has. Here's what I want to say. The Word of God is the voice of the Lord to us. Praise God. Got some amens on that and some that's rights. I was thinking you're going to be perplexed when I said that. The Word of God is the voice of the Lord to us. Now, I just want you to soak in that for a minute because it's a revelation. God's Word is His voice to us. Selah. Have a musical interlude and think about that. The Word of God, His words, His sayings that are written in this book, they are His Word. Now that's radical, brother. Are you sure you want to say that? Yes, I'm quite sure. Have you ever heard someone say the Bible is God's love letter to mankind? Well, I believe that. I've heard it. Isn't a letter a way that somebody communicates something to another person or says something to another person? God's Word is a letter to us from God. It is God speaking to us. Now, Israel only had five books, the five books of Moses. Yet the word they had in those days was enough to produce blessing and healing if they would hearken diligently to those words. They didn't even have the New Testament. All they had was Moses' five books, and part of them were being written at that time. In other words, the book of Deuteronomy was being written at that time. Now, Well, brother, I don't believe the Bible is God speaking to me. I just don't believe that. Well, if you cannot believe that the Word of God is God speaking to us, then how can we believe that some random thought we have or some prophetic word that somebody speaks over us is God speaking to us? We're prophetic people, right? We believe in prophecy. I do. In other words, how can we believe that some random thought or some word spoken over us is God speaking to us and then not be fully convinced that the written Word of God is God speaking to us personally? How can we buy into that and not buy into what I'm saying? Let me give you an example. I have a recording of scriptures on my computer. It's a YouTube video thing. And it's a recording of scriptures about peace of mind. You know, peace of mind. You want peace of mind, so you'll listen to some scriptures about peace of mind. And the first verse in that recording is John 14:27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, these are words that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, right? But when I hear them being spoken to me as that recording plays, they become His words directly to me. They're the voice of Jesus speaking to me, and my heart responds by calming down. "Yes, God, thank you for your peace." See, He just spoke a truth to me from the Word. I was in a very tough and emotional situation back in the mid-90s, and I'll spare you the details. But I came to a place where I just lifted up my hands and said, "Lord, what? What am I going to do?" You know? And out of nowhere, I heard a thought that was so loud that it was audible really to me. But I know it was a strong thought. And it spoke to me and said, "Peace, be still." And as soon as that happened, I calmed down and was extremely peaceful immediately. And, of course, it was. Do you think that was the Lord speaking to me? Of course it was. And what did He say to me? A scripture verse, "Peace be still." And instantly I was peaceful. See, God spoke, and my heart responded, "Yes, Lord, thank you." And there was a great calm. And it stayed, and it stayed, and it stayed. What's that happened to me? But He spoke clearly to me. It was a scripture He spoke to me. Another verse in that peace of mind recording is Matthew 11:28-30. Very popular scripture. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who did Jesus speak those words to? He was in the middle of some kind of thing, a feast that was going on, and suddenly He stood forth and said those words. Who was He speaking them to? To all that labor and are heavy laden. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." In what time era was He speaking to? For all time. If He once said it, it's true today. It's just true today as it ever was. When I hear those words speak to me from that recording, it's the voice of Jesus speaking to me, and it ministers to me. It speaks to my heart. Okay, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm going to rest. I'm going to take His rest. Praise God. Now, just imagine this for a moment. Someone is sick and miserable. You ever been there? Praise God. And you don't want to eat. You're weak and tired. You just want to feel better, but you're weighed down by this sickness. And then they begin to listen to some recorded scriptures about healing. And as they listen to the recording, they hear verses like this. 3 John 1:2. Or verse, chapter 1, verse 2. There's only one chapter. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And they think, did the Lord just tell me He wants me to prosper and be in health? I believe He did. If he said it in the Bible, then it's still true today. And then another scripture comes up, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Did the Lord just tell me that he would strengthen me? Yes. Did he just say he would help me? Yes. Did he just say he would uphold me? Yes. And at that moment, that is music to my ears. Because I'm thinking it's time to throw in the towel and give up. But he said, no, I'll help you. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Wait a minute. Did the Lord just tell me that he would restore health to me and heal me? Yes. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Did the Lord just say that he would be with me in sickness and would strengthen me? Yes, he just said that. And there are many, many more verses like these. You listen to about 50 or 75 of them, of those verses, and watch what happens. It will change you on the inside. Suddenly you've got a whole different perspective because the Lord is speaking to you through his word. You'll get healed. Not because I say so, but because God says so in those scripture verses. You'll recognize the voice of the Lord coming through those scripture verses and say, yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all will get this 3 o'clock in the morning one day. Okay. See, it's not important what I say. It's important what God says to you. When God speaks to us, things happen. Suddenly, he's with us in the situation. It's not just us fighting and struggling to make it. Suddenly, God is on the scene because he just spoke this. He's going to heal me. He's going to uphold me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to heal all my wounds. Hallelujah. And suddenly, you start getting a little bit happy about that. Glory to God. I may be sick now, but God says he's going to heal me. There's just something special and unusual about the way of the scripture to word it. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Like Pastor John said last week, they are Holy Spirit breathed. They are different from any other writings we can find. Hallelujah. They are spiritual words. They're not just words in a book. They're spiritual words. And when we hear them, our heart, our spirit man responds. Yes, God, you're going to heal me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make your hair stand up on your arms too. But anyway. When we receive the word of God, the scriptures, as God's voice speaking to us, something miraculous happens on the inside. Faith comes, hope arises. Suddenly, praise God, I got a hopeful outlook here. We begin to believe what his word is telling us through his word, his written word. Remember, the subject of this message is the effect of the word of God on the human spirit, the human heart. And how does that happen? By diligently hearkening, by listening attentively to the voice of the Lord our God, which is recorded in this written word. And I've discovered this method of just getting scriptures on a video, a recording, and just listening to them. Let them feed me. Let them wash over me. Immerse myself in them. The more you hear the word of God, the more God will speak to you. He speaks to us out of his word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and as I thought about this, the Lord showed me this principle at work in the life of Abraham and Sarah as they sojourned as strangers and pilgrims in the land of Canaan. If we look at the life of Abraham, we can see that he had a strong ongoing relationship with the Lord, at least from age 75 and onward, when the Lord said, you know, take everything and leave and go somewhere. I'll show you when you get there. You'll know it. You know, I'll show you this place as you go. And we know that he left and headed out. And the Bible says that Abram built altars unto the Lord. And Abram built an altar unto the Lord. And they settled there for a little bit. And then he went somewhere and he built another altar. Because he was always worshiping God. He was always cultivating a relationship with God. And it tells us that God even talked with him on various occasions, more than once, a number of occasions. And so Abram was a man who was familiar with the voice of the Lord. Amen? God even called him his friend. So they had a good relationship. And it says that Abram believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So then we know he was a believer, a man of faith, faithful Abraham. Sarai, on the other hand, is not mentioned much in the story of their life before they had the child, Isaac. Except for the one time when they had lived in Canaan for 10 years. And let's go to Genesis 15, verse 3. This is Abraham speaking. And Abraham said to the Lord, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir." That might have been the guy, Eliezer, if I'm not mistaken. Probably him. "He's my heir. I have no child." Verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars." Hallelujah. "If you be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Glory to God. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Verse 6, "And Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness." Hallelujah. See, his righteousness before God was his faith. God told him something and he believed it. Yeah, that's my man. That's my man right there. He's righteous before me. Now, Sarai was not there at that encounter. Of course, Abram shared it with her, you know, his wife. But it appears that she struggled a little bit having faith in what God had promised her husband. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. "Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, look, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." It's the Lord's fault, don't you know? "I just cannot have a child, and that settles that, praise God. I pray thee, go into my in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." No, it won't be your child. You won't obtain children by her. "And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai." In verse 3 it says, "Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan." He's 85. "And gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife," which was a huge mistake, by the way, born out of unbelief and carnal thinking. And to make the story short, we know that Hagar bore a son to Abram, whose name was Ishmael, which caused a lot of problems in Abram's and Sarai's life, because Sarai got upset when Hagar got pregnant. And she drove her out into the wilderness, but the Lord intervened and sent her back to Sarah. I'm trying to make this a short story here. And even many years later, when Isaac was finally born, Sarai demanded that Abraham send Hagar and Ishmael away, saying, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for this the son of this bondwoman," I'm not even going to use the word, praise God, "shall not," because we're a Christian crowd here, "shall not be heir with my son. For this son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son," even with Isaac. And it says that the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. It literally broke his heart to send his son away. He was like 12, 13 years old at the time. Well, maybe, 85. He'd be 14 years old, probably. And all that aside, I'm making a point here that Sarai was not on the same faith level as Abram during those years. Amen? It was Sarai who devised a natural plan to make God's word come to pass, and it was a disaster. And I can find no indication that the Lord ever spoke directly to Sarah during those years. But then the time came that the Lord would bring to pass what he had promised to Abraham, to give him a child. He had promised that for years to him. And all those years, Sarai had believed it was impossible. But now she's the one who's going to have to give birth to it. Praise God. Now in Genesis 18, we know the story that three men came to visit Abraham on their way to check out Sodom and Gomorrah and see if the reports are true about that. And one of them was actually the Lord himself, or the angel of the Lord. And Abraham prepared a meal, and the three men, they ate with Abraham. And then they began to chat a little bit. And Sarah was in the tent, but she may have been, you know, slightly listening in just a little bit, just to get the details, of course. Please drop it. So, anyway, we know she was listening. And chapter 18, verse 9, and they said unto him, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." Verse 10, and he, the Lord, said to Abraham, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life," or next year at this time, "and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him, and evidently got her attention. And verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old. When the Bible says you're old, praise God. And well stricken in years. That's a nice way of saying it. Well advanced in years. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. I mean, things just weren't the same. It was just too late for her, in other words. Therefore, because of her age, Sarah laughed within herself silently, saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure?" Come on now. Get real. My Lord being old also. I mean, how's he going to do that? Anyway, now you can interpret that any way you want to, but it appears to me she's just plain skeptical of what she's hearing. And after I'm waxed old, am I going to have sexual intercourse? I mean, let's just say it. That's a joke. And my husband is even more over the hill than I am. I mean, he's 10 years older than me. Come on. In verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, which am old?'" He read her mail. She laughed silently. He knew that she had laughed, and he knew what her thoughts were. And then he says, "Is anything too hard for me? Anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I, the Lord, will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." That sounds like a rebuke to me. Yeah, now that's the way it is. Laugh if you want to. So, why did Sarah laugh? Does she think this thing is too hard for me? Then Sarah denied, saying, no, I didn't laugh. For she was afraid. She was shaken up. Somebody just read her mail. And he, the Lord, said, "No, you laughed." Why was she afraid? Because she had just been exposed. The Lord read her mail and knew that she had laughed because she thought she was too old to have a child. He was dealing with her deep-rooted and long-standing unbelief. And we know in Genesis 21, verse 1, it says, "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. It came to pass." Now here's the point. Something amazing happened to Sarah when the Lord spoke to her. It shook her up. We find it in the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:11 says, "Through faith also Sarah herself, her own self, received strength." Not Abraham's faith, through her faith. She received strength her own self to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Did you hear that? Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. She had faith. Faith in what? Faith in the words of a man she recognized to be the Lord himself. I don't think she recognized him to be the Lord until he read her mail. And it scared her. Praise God. Hallelujah. How did she recognize him to be the Lord? Because he knew that she had laughed within herself, and he rebuked her for not believing. Not believing he could do what he said he could do. Is this anything too hard for the Lord? It says it scared her. She was busted, and then she even lied about it because she was afraid. It was the first time God had ever spoken directly to her. She had heard about what God had said to her husband, but she had never had God speak to her. Praise God. And she knew he had spoken to her, and faith began to come for her to receive strength, the strength she needed to conceive. It didn't seem impossible anymore. Suddenly, it seemed possible because God said he's going to do it. But look at you. You're too old. God said he's going to do it. Hallelujah. You see, that's what happens when God speaks directly to us as we listen to and hear his word. He speaks. And when he speaks, it does something on the inside. Exactly. Hallelujah. See, as long as she was doubting what God had said, she would never have been able to conceive. But the Lord shook her up just a little bit and caught her off guard to get her out of that unbelief and into faith. And that's what he may have to do for us. We all have deep-seated unbelief in some area or another. It's come through the years. We've stopped believing this. We stopped believing. The Lord can speak to you and shake you up. Suddenly, well, praise God. Maybe he will heal me. Hallelujah. Glory. See, Abraham was already in faith. But it took a little push to get Sarah moving in the same direction. And what happened? She got strong and youthful. She conceived and bore a child in her old age. Isn't God amazing? Hallelujah. Is anything too hard for him? No. Hallelujah. So then, what were we talking about? We were talking about the effect of the Word of God upon the human spirit as we listen to it, or that is, as we diligently hearken unto the voice of the... What's that? And put it into action. See, and shall obey. See, part of hearing the voice is obeying it. But amen. That may be another message, but it is true. The Lord speaks things to us as we listen to his word. I found this out by listening to scriptures about healing when I was sick. I heard his word, faith came, and I got healed. Next thing you know, I was healed. It works for healing, but it also works as we listen to scriptures about peace of mind, for example. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. And it says that the peace of God will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And many, many other verses or scriptures about strength. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Glory to God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. You listen to about 50 or 100 of those verses, suddenly, glory to God. I think I'm, ooh, wow, strength coming here. Praise God. It will quicken you. The spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. He shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. So as we immerse ourselves in these scripture verses and others, and allow ourselves to hear them, to allow them to speak to us. See, we got to get in a place where we're listening to where they can speak to us. Get you some scriptures on healing or peace of mind or strength or grace or whatever it is you want to hear about. And let them wash over you. Sit and listen. Take that time. You know, you can skip one TV show. Hey, skip an hour TV show and listen to the Word of God. You'll find yourself starting to leave all the TV shows out. Hey, this is much better. Praise God. God speaks to me when I listen to his word. And we allow ourselves, allow him, them, the scriptures to speak to us. We will hear the voice of the Lord through his word. And faith will come. And we will mount up with wings as eagles. And we will rise up into higher places in God. Amen? Is that where you want to be? Praise God. Well, I don't know if y'all got anything out of that. I'm going to preach myself happy here, so let's give the Lord some praise. Good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, the bones and the marrow, Lord. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we receive your word. We make it our goal to pursue your voice through your word and receive those things that you would have for us, Father, that we would develop that relationship where you speak to us, God, on a daily basis. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.